It's fantastic to welcome in to Sydney and to Static on 2SER, Charlie and Eddie from Shame, gentlemen.
Good day. How's it going?
I'm doing good. Shame look like they've been soaking up the best that Australia has to offer.
It's a very nice way to say you're both sunburnt.
Yeah. We're 10,000 miles away from home, so you might as well make it worth it. Yeah.
You've been making yourselves at home. Every photo has been you guys in hot tubs and public fountains and all sorts of things cooling off.
Well, the British invasion has to continue in some way or another.
We like to make ourselves known.
Yeah. Is playing in the midday sun at Laneway, is it not too hot to get yourself riled up on stage, Charlie? Have you been doing all right?
It does get, but you just need to be hydrated. That's the difference with, when you go out drinking here, you need to keep on drinking water, which I learned heavily in Melbourne when we played there.
I thought you were going to say that's the difference when you go out drinking, you need to just keep on drinking.
Yeah. There is that as well.
Know your limits.
And it's a long way for Shame to be from bleak South London at the moment.
Yeah, it is.
Is that still your neighbourhood? I mean, do you still count that as...
We still live with our parents, man. We were all born and grew up in London. Apart from Charlie, who lives above a pub. No, he's actually homeless now in London. So,
technically.
Because we're away for 2 months.
Between houses.
Because, like all good bands, Shame formed in a pub, right?
Yes.
Well, like all old bands.
Yeah. Yeah, we had this, there's a pub called the Queen's Head in Brixton, where we all used to hang out, and there was a rehearsal room upstairs, so we got together one day and started practicing there, and that was the start of an interesting chapter in our lives.
Like most of London, that pub's already been gentrified as
pub is weirdly enough still there, still called the Queen's Head, but it couldn't be more different.
There's about 3 good pubs left in London, and independent music speaking wise. I think that's a similar thing though from what I've been hearing in Australia as well. Like, and I think with the Queen's Head, it was just a place we were allowed to practice there for free, and now for bands coming up in London, it's just the amount they have to pay to practice is ridiculous.
But that neighbourhood as well seems to have been such a hotbed the past few years, and from the outside, it feels like a real changing of the guard, whereas 5 years ago every new band from London was from Shoreditch or Dulston. It feels like there's a newer wave of bands and also a newer location south of the river.
Yeah, because I mean, all those bands that came from, that like said they were from like Hoxton or Shoreditch, they were like, most of them were from like Cambridge or something like that, you know. Very few people were actually from the areas they said they were. But yeah, I mean, there's just, I don't think it's specific to South London, but there's definitely just a lot of emerging young talent in London at the moment.
Yeah, there's definitely a division though between all areas of London. Like, East is trendy, West is quite like wealthy, North is just abnormal, and South is the best.
It seems to be also that when areas are victims of gentrification, then bands move out and move on as well, right? Like, you need to find yourselves.
I think that happened. We played in New York in November, and we're going back there in March. And that was what everyone's moving to, like San Francisco from New York, or places like LA and stuff like that. Like, I think gentrification definitely does impact independent music, live bands especially, because, you know, you're not making money.
And so were bands like Fat White Family sort of part of the vanguard of what you guys looked up to when you were forming Shame a few years ago?
I don't know. I mean, they were definitely there a lot, and we
in the pub a lot. You mean though?
I think, you know, we've always had a lot of time for their music and them as guys, but I don't know. I think we had sort of other ideas in the sort of musical direction we wanted to go in. So.
Yeah, I think sonically we're quite different, but in terms of the live performance, I mean, definitely
that's something we've
it's something like energetic and controlling the chaos. But, you know, at the Queen's Head, we were hanging around a load of amazing bands like Alabama Free, The Ruts, Stiff Little Fingers, like obviously Fat White Family. So we were exposed to a lot of ill-advised,
some terrible
characters,
mistakes, awful stuff.
And was playing a lot of early gigs for Shame, was that kind of the easy part, like making those crowded, frantic gigs exciting?
They were never like. But the thing is, I think one of the main reasons our show is the way it is now is because in the early days we literally just used to play to like 4 people. So I think a good way to sort of remove the embarrassment of that is to just completely go a bit nuts and sort of, I don't know, it just removes any idea of feeling self-conscious or worried about what you're doing.
So we always just saw it as being quite funny.
It is pretty funny.
And we, you know, we still maintain a lot of humour to ourselves as a band. I think that's important, not to take ourselves too seriously. You know, at the end of the day, we're just having a laugh.
Yeah, because I mean, like, I've watched footage of some of our early gigs, and like, there's like two people there, and then there's someone getting like a meal delivered to them walking past the camera. It's hilarious.
There's probably people still doing that at the back at laneway. You just can't see them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we would do all of this, you know, on school nights.
Yeah. So
we do like 3 gigs a week, and then like, you know, get fucked and then wake up and continue on.
And Charlie, apart from not wanting to take yourselves too seriously, when it came time to write Shame songs and write the album, it also seems that you guys have been pretty keen to make it both about the personal and the political in the songs that you've written.
Yeah, I mean, we have one political song called Visa Vulture that didn't make it onto the album, lyrically speaking. But the rest of the songs, they are, you know, it's over that album. Songs of Praise was written over a time period of us being 17 to 23 years, so it's about all the different things that you're experiencing. It is social observations, but you know, it looks just conversation with myself, so it's trying to understand things around me. But you know, we are a political band, but
I don't know if our music is that political.
I don't think
a lot of just social commentary, really.
I don't think our music is too like lyrically. It's not like blatant or obvious in comparison to a lot of bands we know in London, like from UK, like Idols.
Yeah,
are one band who are quite like blunt in the lyrics, whereas I think these ones are a bit more subtle.
But a lot of the songs are also about relationship politics as well, and looking at your friends making mistakes or.
Yeah, myself.
Yeah.
Are you the guy in concrete trapped in the go nowhere relationship?
I think everyone's the guy in concrete trapped in the relationship.
There's a little bit of concrete in all of us,
yeah.
And at the same time, as you mentioned, I mean, a lot of the songs were written when you were still in your teens.
Yeah.
So are you guys kind of aware as well that you've probably still got a lot more living to do before you write the definitive Shame political album or make some grander
album
statements?
About tax returns.
Yeah. You know, writing about our accountant. I think now, I mean, that was, we can't distance ourselves from the fact that we were like teenage boys when we wrote that album, but hopefully, like sonically and lyrically, we just continue to grow.
Yeah.
I mean, over the past year and foreseeing into the future, we're going to be exposed to so many different cities and countries, and I think the touring element will definitely seep into the new music.
Yeah.
But you also seem to have quite a mission statement about a lot of the stuff that you do as well. I mean, the lyrics and the liquor are all about railing against something that's relatable, not debatable. So you're
that's
kind of
hook,
aware
baby.
That
that's the one.
That's the one, baby.
Is that the one that everybody picks out?
Yeah. That is the one that everyone. Yeah.
Have you put that on a t-shirt yet? Then this is the question.
No,
I think our manager had that idea once.
Yeah, other people have put it on t-shirts, but no,
we haven't independently branded that yet.
No, but you know, you
there's money to be made.
It's a good idea.
In every word.
So has that been weird, as you know, as the band has exploded as well, watching people pick apart the record?
Yeah, that, because I watched a couple of YouTube reviews of the record, and this guy gave us a rating out of like 250 or something. So he was like, yeah, I'm going to give this a solid 235 out of 250. And he went into so much detail, like the melodic integrity, like lyrical structure. And I was thinking, like, dude, I haven't even put that much thought into my own record as you have. Like,
we're not writing symphonies.
Yeah. so it's weird being under far more scrutiny as things sort of get bigger. And I've just stopped looking at Twitter entirely.
Maybe you should be pulling a few more of those quotes out for t-shirts in the future.
Oh, yeah. The Guardian comment section. Jesus. That was the most brutal thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And they're your parents' friends, right?
Yeah,
commenting.
Yeah. That's like Dave 42 from Kent.
Well, it's a lot more that stuff that you guys are going to have to deal with, because I notice you're announcing shows in November now, so your year is gone.
We sold our UK tour 3 months in advance, and so we thought we might as well strike when the iron's hot kind of thing.
Yeah, because there are people that missed out on tickets, so we thought, right.
Yeah.
It looks like we're going on another tour.
Yeah, but that one definitely, I mean, playing at Kentish Town Forum, that's going to be the biggest one. It's like 2,200 people, something like that.
Yeah, it's a big old
yeah, you're going to be booking up your tours for like 2020 by about...
Yeah,
if our manager has his way, we will.
Yeah.
Well, don't leave it too long to come back to Australia as well.
No,
I hope that this doesn't take you out of the picture of coming here ever again.
Yeah, when you lower your cigarette prices, maybe we'll come
back.
Yeah,
come on. Come on, guys. Put a word in.
There's your lyrics for album number two already. You know, the price of cigarettes in Australia.
We're definitely going to throw some pokies and, you know, influence like that in.
I'm hoping that for the second record you can recreate the Songs of Praise album covering, except without pigs, and use maybe kangaroos and koalas.
Oh, I mean, that's not bad.
I mean... Kangaroos, they're a little bit feisty, as I've been told.
You look like you could grapple with one. I think you'd be all right.
Grapple, yeah.
Respect.
Wrestle.
Yeah.
It's so great to have Shame here. You guys keep slapping on sunblock and...
Yeah.
We're juicing ourselves up every day.
Dropping yourselves in the fountain. So we might have a listen to the album closer, a song called Angie.
Oh, yeah. Playing the long one.
Yeah, the long and detailed one.
Strap in, Australia.
Charlie and Eddie, it was great to have you guys in Australia. This is Shame on Static.
Thank you very much for having us, though, man. It's been great.
Thanks very much. Well, there she swings.